Spirit-filled child of the living God,
that your sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west, that you've been lifted up out of the miry clay with your feet set upon a solid rock. And how many of you are ready tonight to say, God, give us an old-fashioned, heaven-sent, Christ-honoring, devil-chasing, sin-killing, true-true, red-hot, Holy Ghost and fire-baptized, hell-hating, tongue-talking, pew-hopping, aisle-running, sinner-saving, sick-healing, gully-washed, Jesus' name revival in the name of the Lord God of heaven and earth. If that's what we want, let's clap our hands unto the living God tonight. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph, because great is the Lord our God, and greatly to be praised. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Praise the Lord. I think I'm going to switch microphones and get this orange one right here. This one sounds a little funny. Praise the Lord. If I can have these monitors cranked up a little bit, we can hear it real good up here. I want everybody that's got a Bible to take it real quick as you remain standing and turn in the Word of the Lord God to about quite a few different passages of Scripture. I want you to take the Word of the Lord God and turn with me to the book of Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, then to the book of Acts chapter 1. Mark 16, Acts chapter 1. I appreciate the opportunity to come and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus tonight. And I'm believing that the Lord God is going to do some supernatural things in our hearts and in our lives. I want you to do something for just a minute. I want you to get your mind off the Christmas tree. Get your mind off Santa Claus. He's dead if you don't already know. And I want you to get your mind on the one tonight who lives forevermore. Because tonight, I don't really like Christmas. I'm not much of a holiday person. Don't have anything for people that love to celebrate Jesus' birthday. But too many times we get our minds at this time of the year on everything but the greatest thing of all. And tonight I want to preach on the greatest gift that could be given. Tonight I want to preach on what your Bible teaches about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of times, and it just kind of nauseates me a little bit, and I think that's wrong term, but when we get at this time of the year, people start getting so dignified. And they get in church, and it's such a sweet holiday season. You know, we're so precious and so sweet this time of year. And when we ought to be rattling the rafters, shouting the high praises of God because the Savior has been born. And tonight I want you to leave here having nothing more, nothing less than a Holy Ghost revival in the gut part of your soul. Because the greatest thing God's ever offered to man is to make you and I the temple of the living God. And tonight there's a God in this room that is alive. There is a God that is real. There is a God that has all power both in heaven and in earth in His hand. And there is a God that wants to reach down from heaven, take your heart, take your spirit, and God tonight literally wants to fill you, baptize you, immerse you in His very own spirit afresh all over again. And tonight God wants to break forth Holy Ghost revival in our hearts and in our lives. Listen, it's the will of God tonight for every person in this room to get so slip, slobbering, saturated, drunk on the Holy Ghost power of God that we're going to leave this church to shake a city, to shake a state with the powerful gospel message that Jesus saves, delivers, and heals. I want to ask you this question. How many of you here tonight have been quote-unquote Holy Ghost-saturated Pentecostal people for 30 years or less? Let me see your hand. 30 years or less. All right. How many of you here have been Pentecostal people for 30 years or more? Let me see your hand. All right. Now, for those that just raised your hands, I want to ask you this question. How many of you can remember a time in ancient history when Pentecostal churches used to be a whole lot different than they are in 1991? Let me see your hand. How many of you can remember a day when the preaching was a lot louder, a lot longer, and a lot harder? And how many of you can remember a time when the altar calls were a lot more fervent, a lot more longer, a lot more tears shed at the altar? How many of you can remember a time in days gone by when the saints of God came to the house of God and the man of God took the word of God, stood up in the house of God, lifted up his voice and said, "Thus saith the word of Almighty God," and the power of God would fall like rain. And sometimes it'd be 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, when God's people were staggering out of the church house, inebriated on the power of Jesus Christ. East. There was a day when Jesus named Pentecost the Holy Ghost and fire baptized people. Had the power of God in such a way that we saw multitudes turn to the Lord God every week. There was a day when we as God's people had the fire of God, the power of God, the glory of God in such a way that sinners would come in the church house and fall on their faces begging, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There was a day when those that did not believe in the power of God would just have to make one trip to our service and they left saying, maybe I don't understand it, but one thing I know, God is in the midst of those people. Now, sad to say, the church of God ain't what we used to be. We can say what we want to. We can say we feel whatever we feel. But ladies and gentlemen, by and large, many of the saints of God that used to have the old-time religion spend most of their time looking back saying, I wish we could just have what they had back then. I'm going to tell you something. God's sick and tired of us dreaming about the way it used to be. God is ready for us to have it greater than it's ever been. Amen. And God tonight is ready to give us Holy Ghost revival. And I feel this in my spirit. It's a different message than what probably some would preach on the brink of Christmas. But tonight, God is just speaking to the church, saying it's time for those that are cold to awake and get on fire. It's time for those that have had it and let it grow dim to get it back brighter than ever before. God is saying it's time for those that remember how it used to be to show a young generation how it ought to be. Tonight it's time for you and I to have Holy Ghost revival in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight I don't want to preach on that. The baptism in the Holy Ghost, what our Bible teaches about it. God wants to use it to change and transform our hearts and lives tonight. I want you to look in the Word of God in the book of Mark chapter 16. Then I want us to take off to the book of Acts chapter 1. Mark 16, Acts chapter 1. I want to thank the pastor for the opportunity to come and preach the Word of the Lord tonight. And just thank you for opening up your doors to give me this second chance to come and preach the gospel of Jesus. In Mark chapter 16, I want you to begin reading in the 15th verse. Jesus had came down from heaven, God manifest in the flesh. Jesus had lived and died for the sins of all mankind. Jesus had been buried 3 days and three nights later he had been raised from the dead. For 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus has now showed himself alive. And when you come to Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus is speaking the words that he speaks to every child of God tonight. We call it the Great Commission. Hear the word of the Lord. And he, Jesus, said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now the gospel is that Jesus saves, that Jesus heals, that Jesus delivers, that Jesus sets the captive free. Go preach the gospel to every creature. Notice verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now look at verse 17. These are perhaps some of those controversial scriptures in your Bible. Verse 17 and 18, some people say these verses should not even be in the Bible. I remember when I was growing up, the preacher I used to be, I won't call the denomination that I used to be in, but you spell it B-A-P-T-I-S-T. Every time I hear a preacher preach on Mark 16, 17, and 18, it'd make me a nervous wreck. Because I always knew what they was fixing to say. And I heard some preachers get up and they say, now, these verses shouldn't be in the Bible. How many of you believe this Bible tonight's the Word of God from cover to cover? You see that cover? That's genuine leather. God Almighty even made the cow that was slaughtered to put the cover on this Bible. It's a God-breathed book from cover to cover. So if God said it, we can believe it no matter what anybody else says. Now tell me, is this what your Bible says? Verse 17. And these signs shall follow the first century Christians only. In my name shall they cast out. Is that what your Bible says? That's what some people would have it say. Let's read it again. And these signs shall follow the apostles only. And anybody after them that tries to do it has got to be of the devil. In my name shall they. Is that what your Bible says? All right, let's just read it one more time together. And these signs shall follow. Let's read it together out loud. Them that believe. How many of you believe tonight? Let me see your hand. Then I guess this pertains to you and me. Amen? Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater things than these shall you do. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they run from the devil. No, in my name shall they cast out devils. They'll get scared to death and hide under a pew if anybody tries to speak in tongues. No, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Then you say, aha, preacher, what's that mean? You're supposed to have a strychnine rattlesnake casserole for supper every afternoon? No, that means if you preach the gospel and follow God, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and thus saith the Lord God, they shall recover. Now I want to ask you this question. How many of you would like to be so mightily anointed and used of God that you've got power in Jesus' name to cast out devils, that you've got power in Jesus' name to speak in new tongues, that you've got power in Jesus' name to lay hands on the sick and see them recover? How many of you would like to have such a powerful anointing of God on your life that if the devil tries to poison you, you cannot be poisoned? If snakes get a hold of you preaching the gospel, you can shake them off back in the fire. How many of you would like to have such the power of Jesus in your life that your life is just like Mark chapter 16? How many of you would like to see that? If you want to have it, here's what you've got to get. Look in Acts chapter 1, and I want you to begin reading with me. In Acts chapter 1, let's start in the 5th verse. Jesus said, if you want to have all of that, he said, you go preach the gospel. He said, you go cast out devils. He said, you go lay hands on the sick. He says, you go do all these things in my name. But first, he said, you don't do one thing until, verse 5, John truly baptized with water. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now look at verse 8. But you shall receive, saith the Lord, P-O-W-E-R, power, after that the Holy Ghost is come on you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and unto the uttermost part of the earth, saith the Lord. Now, look at Acts chapter 2, and let's begin reading in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Jesus said, you're going to do all this, but tarry till you receive the promise of the Father, the baptism with the Spirit. So they were in one place in one accord, in an upper chamber, calling on the name of the Lord. And the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And look at verse 4. And they were all, everybody say all. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now, how many of you believe it was good enough for them then? It's good enough for you and I today. If I can only get the people in this room tonight to get a hold of what God gave them, we'll see God do today what God did 2,000 years ago. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now, the crowd gathered around. And the local pastors and ministers that didn't do it that way in their church came up and started looking. And they said, well, they got to be crazy. Somebody said, well, they got to be of the devil. Somebody else looked and said, ain't nothing but drunks, just a bunch of old sorry slopping drunks. One old boy walks up in verse 12 and says, what does this mean? And Peter said in the 14th verse, lifted up his voice and said, be this known to you, hearken to my words, verse 15. These are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But like the brother said a while ago in verse 16, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days. How many of you here tonight are still living in the last days? It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants, on my handmaidens, I'll pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now I want you to look last of all to the 37th, the 38th, and 39th verse. All of this took place. God's power fell. 3,000 people gathered around. Conviction struck their heart. And Peter told him that Jesus was now both Lord and Christ. And it says in verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said to them, repent, turn from your wicked ways. Repent and get baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Look, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added to them about 3,000 souls. Now we get a heap bit excited,
that they all spoke in tongues. But bless God, that's a pretty good deal in verse 41. There were added to them about 3,000 souls in one day. Now, I want to tell you something tonight. I promise you with my hand on this Bible, if we'll get a hold of tonight what they got a hold of then, just like they had it, we can see the same thing in our day, this week, this month, and all the upcoming year, if we'll get filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about more than a twitch in your spine. I'm talking about more than a tear in your eye. I'm talking tonight, we need to let the supernatural living God of heaven flow in the top of our head, out the soles of our feet, and cause us to proclaim the gospel out of our mouth to a lost and dying world. If you want it, I want us tonight to receive it from the Lord. Let's lift our hands up toward heaven right now and ask Jesus to speak to us tonight. Mighty God, everlasting Father, Jehovah Jesus, you are our everything, Lord, and God, this service is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. So God, I pray for every man. Jesus, I pray for every woman, every boy, every girl under the sound of my voice. My God, give us a fresh fire. My God, give us a fresh anointing. My God, tonight give us Holy Ghost revival from the throne of the living God. My God, touch every man. My God, touch every woman. God, touch every boy, every girl under the sound of my voice with the power of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that tonight the latter day rain and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit might saturate your people in this room in such a way that we'll leave to tell a world that our Jesus is not dead but alive. God, I pray for every person in this room that's never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus, tonight anoint them with fresh oil from the throne of God, even as the word goes forth that the Spirit fall. God, I pray for every saint of God here tonight that has already been baptized in the Holy Ghost. My God, anoint us with fresh oil tonight. My God, for these here that, Lord, they may have grown weak or cold, someone. My God, let fresh fire be put on the Lord, the altar of their heart tonight. Jesus, I cannot preach without your power. So breathe on me your anointing. Breathe on me your fullness, O God. And Jesus, breathe upon the people. And tonight, God, grant us a Holy Ghost revival. Teach us, Lord, what your word has to say about the power of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. My God, do it tonight, and we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Tonight I want to ask you a very personal question. I want to be honest up front and to the point. How many of you tonight in this room have ever in your life been into a church service or revival meeting in which it seemed like when you got there, everybody in the world had showed up but God? Let me see your hand. How many times have you ever been to church and you went there hungry for a move of God? Maybe it was your first time ever in a Pentecostal church. And you had heard all your life, boy, I hear miracles take place there. Boy, I hear the power of God falls there. Boy, I hear they shout, run the aisles, and people get saved and delivered and healed. I heard all of that. But how many times have you ever walked into a church before, and you got there and sat there and said, something's missing here? How many times have you ever visited a church maybe somewhere, and you sit there and you thought, now, something's just not right? You sit there and you looked around and you looked over at one sister and she looked like she'd just been baptized in lemon juice. You look over and there's a brother. He looked like he just won the green persimmon sucking contest of the year. And you sit there and you think, now something's just not right here. And all of a sudden service starts. And I mean, they start to sing. Not a tear in an eye. Not a hand raised toward heaven. Not one shout uttered. And you sit there and think, now, something's just not right. And finally you think, it's got to get better. So how many times have you ever been to church and finally some old preacher gets up to preach? And I mean, he's got his long bathrobe on and got his collar turned around backwards and steps up to the pulpit and says, "Dearly beloved, we're gathered today in the house of God to receive deep, profound, meaningful gems from God's holy word." Now, I want everyone, if you can awake for just a moment, to take the word of God and turn to Genesis chapter 1. Now, please turn the pages very softly. We don't want to frighten any of our first-time visitors. I don't recall when I've ever been this excited about a message before in my life. And you sit there in your pew and thought, now, just something's not right here. And all of a sudden, the man of God began to preach.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And darkness, what a beautiful word, darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters.
Oh my goodness! Well, it appears I did what most of you usually do. I step right through my message. Well, I'm sure nobody wants to get saved, sanctified, or filled with the Holy Ghost. You can all stand and be dismissed. And you went home and thought, my Lord, if that's church, I don't want it. I know I'm being a little overemphasizing it here, but how many of you have probably ever been to a service just about that dead before? You went in hungry, you went out starving. You went in and thought, boy, the fire's going to fall. And you went down, it was nothing but dry Sahara desert blowing sand in your face. You went into church and I know the fire of God's going to fall. But maybe the fire of God used to be there. Maybe one day the fire of God's coming back. But right now you knew the fire of God wasn't burning there. How many ever been to church like that before in your life? You went there hungry for God, but left finding out God wasn't there. But I want to ask you this question. How many times have you ever been to church? And I mean, you may have been out in the backwoods in the middle of nowhere. It may have been a little old fancy log church, and I mean, they may not have had fancy chandeliers, may not have had a fine PA system like this. All they may have had was a bunch of sawed-off benches, a bunch of coal lanterns. But how many times have you ever walked into a church before, and you walked in the back door, and all of a sudden, it hits you? You say, wait a minute. There's somebody here that's greater than I am. There's a presence in this room that I can't see, but I know it's here. And you said, I can't put my finger on it. I can't explain it. But there's something here. And you looked at the people and they were common. You could tell some may have been unlearned and ignorant men. But in their face, something said, they have been with Jesus. And all of a sudden, you sit in the church house. And all of a sudden, it started. The singing cut loose and they begin to sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And all of a sudden, you say, I don't know what they got, but my God, I need it too. And all of a sudden you sit there, and the man of God stands up, and he may not have been very educated. He may have got up and said, you ain't just got to get born again. But all of a sudden on the inside of you, something says, I need God, I need God. And all of a sudden it seems like the heavens are open, and the Spirit of the Lord God begins to fall. And all of a sudden you find yourself on your knees at the altar, saying, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, I pray. And all of a sudden when you lift up your eyes, it is a brand new world now. On one side of the church, some of them are walking and leaping and praising God. On the other side of the church, they're down in the altar weeping and laughing. On the other side of the church, they got their hands raised. On the back side of the church, they don't know what in the world they're doing, but they know it's God. And you go home and say, my Lord God in Zion, truly the presence of the Lord God has been in that place. Now, how many of you ever been to church like that before? Let me see your hand. Now, do you know what the difference is? What is the difference? You go to one, it ain't there. You go to the heaven, it's everywhere. I mean, what's the difference? How many of you ever saw a Christian like this? You see a Christian look up, walk up to you, and he looks like a cloudburst waiting to explode. He walks up and says, I'm saved. And you want to look at him and say, brother, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. You know, I'm sorry you got that, man. If it makes you like that, I'll pray you get over it. I never saw a Christian like that. And then you look at a Christian, they walk up to you, and they got the fire of Jesus burning in their soul. And they walk up and look at you and say, I'm a born-again, sanctified, blood-bought child of the living God. He saved me, sanctified me, lifted me out of the miry clay. And I want to tell you about the King of Kings, the God of Gods, the Lord of Lords. What's the difference in the two? What is the difference in those that aren't in and those that are in? What's the difference in those that are cold and those that are hot for God? What's the difference in those that are bound and those that are set free? What's the difference in those where they never see anybody saved and those everywhere they go, they're telling the story of Jesus? Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, the difference is one thing and one thing alone, and that is, it's not the denomination. It's not whether you're at the UPC or the Apostolic Independent or the Church of God in Christ or the Church of God out of Christ. That is not the difference. The difference in the two is not how much education they got.
The difference is not how much money the folks have got in their pocket. But ladies and gentlemen, tonight God says the difference is one thing and one thing alone. And that is, God says, it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord God. I'm saying it is the Holy Ghost and fire, and it is keeping us alive. It is the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's all over me. I'm saying the Holy Ghost makes all the difference in the world. Amen. And you know what we need tonight? We need a Holy Ghost revival. Arkansas is perishing tonight because the majority of Pentecostals have got away from real Holy Ghost revival. Oh, we got a form of godliness, but many aren't walking in the power thereof. And what we need tonight is for a genuine, real Holy Ghost revival to sweep over our souls. I want to tell you something tonight. This Pentecostal message that Jesus saves, that Jesus heals, that Jesus delivers has shaken the world. In less than 100 years, Pentecostals have done what most denominations have not been able to do in hundreds of years. But do you know what allowed us to do it? We did not reach a world doing what many have begun to do today. This is how it started. Back in the early part of this century, in the latter part of the last, people begin to look in this Bible. And they say, God, we want more of you. God, there's something more than what we have. And they begin to search this book and they said, I understand it. But it says John baptized with water. But he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They begin to read that you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on you. And ladies and gentlemen, what bursted forth revival in this world was back in the early part of this century. A group of men of God, women of God, got on their faces prostrate before God. And they begin to pray and said, oh Lord God, send your power just now. Oh Lord God, send your power just now. They said, oh Lord God, send the power just now and baptize everyone. They prayed before God. They wept before God. And brother, when they got up off of their faces, the fire of Almighty God had filled their soul, and they went out to shake a planet with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And if we get away from that kind of religion, we're going to die. What we need to do is get a fresh fire and hunger for the Holy Ghost of Almighty God. I read the history books of old time Pentecost, and it boggles the mind. I read about how out on Azusa Street, an old black brother pastor by the name of Brother Seymour, or Seymour, however you say it, would get in this old, what looked to be an old warehouse. In the early part of this century, this dear black brother would go to the church, and he didn't have a fancy pulpit. He just had a bunch of apple crates or some kind of crates up there. And they said this old colored preacher would get up there and put his head down in the apple crates. And sometimes hours before service, you'd come in, and you wouldn't see the preacher. And so they'd say, where's the pastor? You'd hear him behind the pulpit. God, all is vain unless your spirit comes down. God, you've got to breathe on us your fire. God, you've got to breathe on us your anointing. Jesus, we can't preach unless your spirit falls. Lord, our life is vain unless your spirit falls. My God, breathe upon me. And when that man of God would step out from behind those apple crates and begin to preach, the power of God would fall in such a manner that God brought him from the north, God brought him from the south, God brought him from the east and the west into that place, and the fire of God fell. Ladies and gentlemen, when God's people get hungry for Holy Ghost revival, there is nothing our God can't do if we'll only get a hold of God one more time. They said one day they were having church, and all of a sudden in this Azusa Street mission there, they said the firemen pulled up. Come busting in the door. The firemen had their hoses, their sirens going. They ran in, said, where's the fire? The preacher said, what are you talking about? They said, we've been getting calls all around here that the people have been seeing fire come out of the wind. And he looked at them and told them, it's fire all right, but it ain't fire like you think fire. John said, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire.
And I would to God, ladies and gentlemen, we could get such a hunger for Jesus, such a thirst for Jesus, that the church next door is coming over to help the people get out because they think the building's on fire. People come in and they find out what the real fire is all about. But we've got to get the Holy Ghost fire burning. We've got to get back to old-fashioned, heaven-sent, Christ-honoring Holy Ghost revival, or we'll never see another move of God. We ought not to be satisfied with just our little group getting blessed on our way to glory. We ought to say, God, I want such a shaking. God, I want such a stirring that what we've got will shake our pal. And ladies and gentlemen, we can have it if we'll get a Holy Ghost revival in our hearts and in our lives. We sit back today and say, we can't have what they had then because our world's too wicked, our world's too vile. Brother, we can have everything God ever gave them if we'll just get the fire and the power of the Holy Ghost in our souls. A lot of churches say, we ain't got revival today because folks just ain't living like they used to. Now, that's a part of it. But they say, well, when I was growing up, we could have revival because we didn't have all the San Francisco sodomites on the loose. When I was growing up, we could have revival because we didn't have such a drug problem then. Folks say, when I was growing up, we could have revival because we didn't have the TV in the house then. But now our world's so wicked, we just can't have revival no more. But let me tell you something. The God that moved 2,000 years ago is still God 1991. The God that moved in the beginning of this century is still God at the close of this century. And what God gave the old-timers, God will give the young. God will give you sons. God will give you daughters. God help us to get a Holy Ghost revival. If we don't have it, it's not God's fault. It's our fault, bless God. We need a Holy Ghost revival. I'm going to tell you what I see. And I see a lot quick, but I believe it's truth. We're trying to shortcut Holy Ghost revival. I've been in, and I don't know you folks, but I'll just tell you what I see up for you. You look and see a generation coming on. They want to put away the ways of the forefathers and say this is a new era. I heard a so-called Holy Ghost preacher say, the old-time religion, he's paraphrasing, the old-time preaching, old-time, all this kind of stuff. He said it worked 40, 50 years ago. He said this is a new era. This is an enlightened age. We have to use new methods. Ladies and gentlemen, the method of Acts chapter 2, verse 4 is the same method that will work today. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. We look at what is by and large called Christianity today, and here's what's coming on. They're wanting to reach the young people through long-haired, shaggy-faced rock groups. Religious rock and roll. That's how we're going to shake the world. They want to reach the world by a bunch of pant-wearing, painted-faced, boogie-woogieing, singing sisters. They want to reach the world through name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, $1,000 and it's yours kind of religion. But ladies and gentlemen, that kind of religion was birthed in hell and is going to return back to hell. And the only thing that's going to shake this world like God wants it shaken is a good old dose of Holy Ghost revival. Because the only thing that scares the devil is not the power of man, not the fancy glitter, but it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The Holy Ghost is the only thing that will put hell on the run. The Holy Ghost is the only thing that will break the bonds of sin. The Holy Ghost is the only thing that'll break the bonds and the chains and lift people up and give them new life in Jesus Christ. We've got to have Holy Ghost revival. By Holy Ghost revival, I mean you have got to get what they had in days gone by. A lot of times we think, well, as long as we got five or six that are in, they got enough religion to do me. No, you better get it for yourself. Every person needs to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, I was brought up outside of Pentecost. I never understood this. But I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Ghost will change your life. I was brought up in a denomination that taught me Pentecostals love the devil. And I'll be honest with you, a few of them are. But by and large, most are okay. But I was brought up not believing in this. But I'm going to tell you something. The power of the Holy Ghost will change your life. I was brought up coming to church, and when I was preaching next door over there, I was their interim pastor for a while several years ago when I was in Bible college, and I slip over here. And I never did understand in Pentecost, folks. You mention Jesus, and it's like you turn loose a can of ants in their socks or something. It's just they had something. And you'd see them and they'd want to praise him, they'd want to love him. I said, I don't understand that. Well, something got a hold of me. I was working, I was in high school, I was working in Fort Ice, Arkansas at a grocery store. And I'd not really been living for God, this before I started to preach. One day this Pentecostal woman preacher came in the grocery store. And I saw her when she came in. Now, some folks don't believe in women preachers, but the Bible says sons and daughters will prophesy. And so I was in there working one day, and she walked in. And she had an automatic door opener, and she walked up and stepped on it. And as soon as she stepped on it, it flew open. She threw her hand up in the air and shouted, I got power! You know, doors opening before and everything. And I thought, boy, this lady's something. And she said, Brother Garrett, I want to invite you to my nursing home service I have every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. She said, I preach at the nursing home, and I want you to come. I'd never been to Pentecost church before in my life, and so I trot off over there to that nursing home service and sit down at the back and watch this woman start carrying on. And she cut loose to preaching, Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus delivers, Jesus sets the captive free. And inside of me something said, she's got something. And all of a sudden at the end of it, she said, all right, everybody, let's pray for Brother Garrett. And Brother Garrett had never been to Pentecost church before. Brother Garrett didn't know no better. So I step up to front. And while I'm standing there, all of a sudden it starts. As far as the eye can see, from the north, the south, the east, and the west, these wild-eyed, hand-raised, tongue-talking Pentecostal ladies say, we got him. And they start marching around me. And I'm standing there, and all of a sudden these two hands pop around the back of my waist. And I thought, now what meaneth this? And I look around, and next thing you know, they cut loose Jesus, fill him with your power. And they're binding devils and loosening angels and calling down the power and everything. And I stood there and got blessed. Didn't get filled, but I got blessed. A couple of days later, I was at the grocery store. I'll never forget it. I'm saying Holy Ghost will change your life. I was in the grocery store, and she came in. I was working. I said, I'm going to carry her groceries out and get the bottom of what all this is about. And I got out to her car in the middle of the grocery store parking lot, and I looked at her as she was getting in her front seat. And I said, ma'am, could you tell me about this? And I couldn't hardly get it out. I said, could you tell me about this Holy Ghost tongue stuff? And all of a sudden, when I said it, her eyes got like hot fire. She threw one hand up in the air, and right there, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead fell on that lady in that grocery store parking lot, and she began to speak in tongues and magnify God and looked at me and said, Chris, God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And I looked at her and I thought, yes, ma'am. And she looked at me and said, would you like to be filled with the Holy Ghost? And I said, here? And she said, yes, sir, here. And I said, well, I guess so. She said, then get on your knees. And I parked my buggy, made sure nobody was looking from the store. I didn't understand this. I got down on my knees. And she said, look up to God and say, I receive it. And I'm thinking, to God, I'm not necessarily sure what I'm receiving. And neither am I thoroughly persuaded I want to be in possession of everything this sister doth now have. But I thought, God, my life's been going pretty much nowhere until I started trying to follow you. And if the Holy Ghost is real, give me the Holy Ghost. I receive it. And she said, Chris, that's it. You ask the Lord, and He's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You're going to find yourself speaking in tongues just like they did in the Bible. And I said, yes, ma'am. So I closed her car, went on back in, finished the day at work. I was seeking God, hungering after God, thirsting after God, saying, Jesus, fill me with the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, about 7 o'clock that night, I got ready to clock out. Went to the clock, the back, punch, walked about 8 Jemima syrup. By the ketchup, mayonnaise, out that front door, out from the car. Got in the front seat of my car, put my keys in the ignition, backed up. So I was praying again. It was raining on the outside. Little did I know it was fixed to start raining on the inside. And I got right in front of Church's Chicken. No better place on heaven or earth to get the Holy Ghost. And I'm sitting there in the front seat of that car, and I lifted up my eyes to God. And I was thinking, Lord, I want you. I don't want nothing else. I just want Jesus, just want Jesus, just want Jesus, just want Jesus. And all of a sudden, I lifted up my voice. And I said, Jesus, fill me with, and that's about as far as I got. He said, before you call, I'm going to answer you. And right then and there, the Spirit of the Most High God fell on me in the front seat of that car. And I began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of the living God gave me the utterance. And I said, this is it, this is it, this is it. I
done got just what I needed from the Lord. I'm saying it's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping us alive. It's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's all over me. And praise God, I ain't got over it yet. And I went home speaking in tongues, praising God, magnifying God. And I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, it's real, it's real. I know it's real. It's that Pentecostal blessing, and I know it's real. It's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Hallelujah. And I mean before, when I was 14, 15 years old, living for the devil, it was a big thing for me to go out on weekends when I was 14, get a little quart of Miller beer. And I was skinny. It didn't take much to knock me out. And boy, when I was 14, I thought that was something, boy. But now here I am, 17, 18 then, and boy, I done got a hold of something that kicks worse than Jack Daniels ever thought about kicking. Put me to bed feeling good, woke me up feeling better. And I woke up the next day a brand new man. I walked to work one day, parked my car, get out of that car, walk up to that front door, get up there, and I'm just thinking about it. Step on that front door. I got power too, praise God. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And now it was a brand new world. I'm in that back room of the grocery store. Doorbell rings. Look out, it's the meat man. Something says, get him. Before you know it, the meat man's in the back room. Jesus, save me. Jesus, forgive me. Wash me in your blood. Before you know it, doorbell. It's the Marlboro man. Something says, give him, but tell him about the peace that doesn't come in a pipe. Before you know it, the Marlboro man's back there. Jesus, save me. Jesus, come in my heart. I'm over one day by Aunt Jemima's syrup. All of a sudden, I look up, and there goes the produce girl in the produce cooler. One door in, same door out. Something says, get her. Before you know it, she's in the produce cooler. Jesus, save me. Jesus, forgive me. Wash me in your blood. I'm back at the mop bucket one day, and back comes one of the brothers back there to wring his mop out, and God says, you tell him how to get his heart wrung out. And I didn't understand everything about God or baptism then, but one thing I know, everybody needed Jesus, and I was trying to get as many folks as I could brought to the Lord God Almighty. I mean, it was a brand new world. That's what the Holy Ghost can do. He can give you a story to tell. He can give you a song to sing. He can give you a life to live. The Holy Ghost can lift you up out of the shadow and give you power, power, wonder-working power to tell a world that our God's not dead but alive. And all of a sudden, I was in high school, and I was up there sacking groceries. And all of a sudden, somebody'd buy some old nasty cigarettes. Before, I could sack them things, no problem. But now I'm looking at them things, and something says, you ought not be handling them, boy. Come out from among the world and be separate. Be ye holy as I am holy. Touch not the unclean thing. And I think, God, I work here. What am I supposed to do? Get them cigarettes. Put them in the very bottom of the sack. Reach over here and get the biggest old can of tomato juice I can find. In the name of Jesus. Some lady would come up and buy some old dirty, rotten, nasty, stinky, filthy, dirty, rotten, stinking, hell-bound, ungodly, profane, immoral National Enquirer. If I'm making myself plain. And I'd get that thing, and before I could handle them things, no problem. But something says, you ought not be looking at them, handling them, or reading them. Come out from among the world and be separate. And I think, God, I work here. What do I do? Get that National Enquirer, put it in the sack. Reach over and get the biggest, old, bloodiest, slimy chicken I can find. She could suck that National Enquirer through a straw by the time she got home. What am I saying? I was headed for hell living like the devil. But when Jesus filled me with the Holy Ghost, brother, He put something on the inside of me that made a difference. And I'm telling you, what God did for me, what God did for them, God wants to do for every one of us in this room tonight all over again. He wants us to be anointed with fresh oil, baptized in the fire, power, and anointing of Almighty God. I'm saying we need a Holy Ghost revival. All right, I'm going to begin to close my introduction. I'm just kidding. I'm going to give you just a couple of thoughts, and I'm through tonight. I'm going to make it brief. The Holy Ghost. We need a Holy Ghost revival. Somebody says, preacher, I've heard you say that all night. What are you talking about the Holy Ghost? This Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? You talk about the Holy Ghost and some folks get scared. You know, they can go to a ball game, 30,000 people hollering like Cherokee Indians with their faces painted, acting like bears and tigers, and they love every minute of it.
and come to church with a bunch of old saintly sisters and grandpas and men and women and sit down and talk about the Holy Ghost, and suddenly they get scared. What is the Holy Ghost? Let's phrase it like this. Who is the Holy Ghost? Let me say this. The Holy Ghost is simply Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Jesus. Listen, God is a Spirit. The Bible says there is one God and one Spirit and one Lord. Now the Lord, He is God. God is a Spirit and the Lord is that Spirit. Jesus is the Holy Ghost. So who is the Holy Spirit? Jesus. Listen to what Jesus said. He told His disciples, I'm with you. He said, the Spirit of truth who dwelleth with you. But He said, He shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, saith the Lord. I will come to you. Listen, Jesus on earth was the Holy Ghost with us. Today, He is the Holy Ghost in us. Who's the Holy Ghost? He's God. Now, what is the baptism with the Holy Spirit? Somebody says, all right, preacher, we need Holy Ghost revival, need to be baptized in the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit's Jesus, what is all this get baptized in the Holy Ghost stuff? What does that mean? Let me tell you. To be baptized in the Spirit, before I tell you what it means, let me tell you what it isn't. The baptism with the Spirit, number one, is not of the devil. How many of you have ever had someone tell you speaking in tongues is of the devil? I'm going to be honest with you. Some people are so retarded that it's pitiful. I'm just young enough to say it like I think it. You go to some churches and you walk in the back door sucking your cigarettes all the way to the door. And they shake your hand and say, we're so glad you're here. You go to some churches and I mean can drive up with your music blaring out your windows. And that, we're so glad you're here. Wonderful member. Walk into a church and all week long, some of them watch Days of Our Lives as the world turns, hell rolled over there, awful Winfrey and every ungodly abominable. Well, got quiet on that one. They can sit there and watch that stuff all week long. Go to some churches and walk in. Well, God bless you. We're just so glad to have you. Most of us know this, but somebody here may not understand this. Somebody's told you, quit hanging around them folks because they ain't nothing but a bunch of devils. I'm going to tell you something. You're on dangerous ground when you attribute the power of the Holy Spirit to the devil. Jesus said if you speak a word against the Son of Man, His humanity, it can be forgiven you. But Jesus said if you speak a word against the Holy Ghost, it'll not be forgiven you in this world or in the world to come. Let me tell you something tonight. If what I got tonight is of the devil, brother, the devil's done been converted. Amen. He's a brand new devil if what I got tonight's of the devil. Because what I got took cussing out, put praising God in. What I got took me off the old wine and put me on the new wine. What I got lifted me up out of the miry clay. It set our feet on a rock to stay. What we got took trouble and pain and horror out and put peace in. The path is all understanding. It's not of the devil. What is the baptism in the Holy Ghost? Let me say this. It's not just for back then. You know, some folks have a God that could do it, will do it, but now can't do nothing. The Bible says in Acts 2:39, the promise is unto you, your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Listen, what God did, God does. What God gave, God gives. And who God was, God still is. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. In the last days, that is, until the last trumpet sounds at the coming of the Lord God, I will pour my Spirit out on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, saith God, I'll pour water on him that is thirsty. I'll pour rivers of living water on the dry and barren land. From now till Jesus comes, we can have the baptism in the Holy Ghost. So it's not just for back then. It's not of the devil. So what is it? Here's what it is. To be baptized in the Holy Ghost is when God comes to live in your life with power. Jesus said, I'm with you, we'll be in you. Paul said, you are the temple of the living God. You know how I like to describe the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Now, I know TV's of the devil and shouldn't have an abomination in your house. But back before I got that truth, I used to watch Popeye on TV. How many, before you got saved, watched Popeye on TV? You remember that little cartoon? Popeye reminds me of what it is to get the Holy Ghost. You know, Popeye is kind of a scrawny little fella. You know, he's got them scrawny little arms, and he's all puny-looking. And there's that old mean man, Brutus. Now, to me, he represents the devil. Popeye represents the believer without the Holy Ghost. And every time old Brutus comes up to Popeye, he knocks him out, laid out on the ground. That's just what the devil does to you before you get the Holy Ghost. And Popeye gets up. He's always mad at Brutus. He's always wanting to knock his block off, but he can't because he ain't got no power. And that's just like you without the Holy Ghost. But you ever notice what happened on that little cartoon? It always showed up this little can of spinach. That represents, I believe, the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Because all Popeye had to do was get that can of spinach, pop the top off, pour it down, and the next time Brutus came around, he was a brand new Popeye. This time when Brutus came on the scene, Popeye could flex them muscles, draw back, wham! One blow knocked Brutus in the middle of next week. And ladies and gentlemen, that in a spiritual sense is what happens to you when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Before you get the power of the Holy Ghost in your life, the devil's knocking you around, he's knocking you out, but when Jesus baptizes you in the Holy Ghost, you get a big old heart full of some supernatural anointed spinach of Almighty God, and it gives you power within to knock the devil without. I'm saying you got power when the Holy Ghost comes on you. What is it to be baptized in the Spirit? When God comes to live in your life with power. The Bible said God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. That's what it is. You know who He is. You know what it's not. And I'm going to close out by telling you what's going to happen when you get the Holy Ghost. Every person, listen to this, bar none, that's baptized with the Spirit will speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. And you say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, I didn't either for a long time. But then I found out God's Word had more sense than I did. The Bible said in Acts 2:4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. The Bible says in Acts 10, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and magnified God. The Bible says in Acts 19, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts 9, said in 1 Corinthians, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than ye all. Isaiah said in Isaiah 28, 11 and 12, with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people to whom he said, now hear this, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Jesus said, they, believers, shall speak with new tongues. When you're baptized in the Spirit, what will happen? You will speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Are you saying, preacher, if I've never spoken in tongues and I'm not baptized in the Spirit? Yep. That's what I'm saying. No ifs, and buts about it. It is a universal experience. In the Bible, every last one of them spoke in tongues. All 120 in the second chapter of Acts. All of the 3,000 received the same thing they did. That's 3,120 filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues in one day. And Jesus said, this is the rest. This is the refreshing. Are you saying speaking in tongues save us? No, it's Jesus that saves. But when Jesus comes in, we speak with other tongues, and that's the way we know we're baptized in the Spirit. You say, I don't understand that. Well, why does that happen? Have you ever saw those tea kettles you put on the fire? And when they start boiling, they start whistling. Why does that thing go? Why does it do that? Letting you know the water's boiling on the inside. And that's what happens when you get baptized in the Spirit. When the Holy Ghost of God, the river of living water, begins to burst out of your belly, you just like that tea kettle whistling, just start speaking in tongues, letting the world know that the river of living water, the fire of God, has begun to well up within your soul. And one last thing that's going to happen when you're baptized in the Spirit, and it's this. You will become radically on fire for Jesus as you stay filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm going to say this may make you mad, some of you. But we'll be the preacher, don't make nobody mad. If you're not on fire for Jesus, you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. A lot of folks had it, but lost it the next day. A lot of folks saying, oh, I got it. I wonder what some of them got. Because when you're really filled with the Spirit, you're going to be on fire for Jesus. Jesus said more than speaking in tongues will take place. He said, you'll be witnesses unto me. If you're not a witness, you're not filled with power. Now, I'm going to say this. It's almost blasphemy for folks to run. Some folks give Pentecostals a bad reputation. Because they run around shouting about all the Holy Ghost they got, but they never share the gospel of Jesus with anybody. In Acts 2, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they went everywhere preaching Jesus. From town to town, house to house, the Word of God went abroad. And one way to tell if you've got the real thing or not, did it cause you to go out and bring folks to Jesus? If not, you need to come, get under the spout where the glory comes out.
I want you to bow your head and close your eyes right now, and I want you to see something in your mind. Your head's bowed, your eyes closed. I want you to see a man standing in front of about 12 men. They look at him confused. They look at him bewildered. And they say, what are we going to do? And he says, I want you to tarry till you receive power from on high. I want you to see about 120 of them finally in an upper room, and they say, Lord, we don't know what we're going to do. The world's too big. The devil's too strong. How are we ever going to shake it for you? And he says, not many days from now, I will come to you. Until then, you tarry. And all of a sudden, they were in an upper chamber. They were all in one accord. And then the Holy Ghost descended, as was promised by the Lord. Tongues of fire came down upon them, and all of a sudden they lifted up their voice and said, that Jesus whom you crucified, God has raised him up. He is Lord. He is Christ. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden 3,000 did and were added to the Lord's church. Don't you think, just one more time, we ought to see him do it again? Don't you in this room tonight, some of you inside, isn't there a hunger? It says we can see that. We can see that. We can see multitudes brought to the Lord. We can see lives changed. If we'll only be anointed with fresh oil. It's not enough to believe it. We've got to experience it. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. How many in this room tonight can say, preacher, I believe Jesus has come. Died, been buried, raised from the dead, ascended into heaven. And preacher, I believe there's an experience with God available today that revolutionizes lives, that gives us fresh power and anointing. But I want to ask, first of all, how many in this crowd tonight can say, preacher, I've never yet been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I've never been filled with the Spirit, spake with other tongues. And preacher, tonight I want Jesus inside my heart in power. Preacher, I don't want nothing false, and I don't believe you preach nothing false because it's in the Bible. And preacher, I want what they had. I want that power of God that will turn my life around and cause people to know I've been with Jesus. Preacher, I want power to live for God. I want to be born of the Spirit. Would you pray for me, preacher? I've never yet been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Man or woman, boy or girl, you can say I'm hungry for it. Would you raise your hand right now all across this room? God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? Come on. If I didn't see your hand, slip it up. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you, sister. Anybody else? Come on. It's for you. It's for the young. It's for the grown. God bless you. Anybody else? Come on, preacher. I'm hungry for God tonight. I'm hungry for God. Someone else. Someone else. Someone else. Maybe you've tried and failed. But right now is the time. God's going to pour it out upon all flesh. Anybody else? Preacher, I'm hungry. For every one of you that raised your hand, I want you to do something right now at your seat. Begin to ask the Lord to wash you from every sin in His blood. Just right now, begin to say, Jesus, cleanse me, wash me afresh, remove anything that hinders me from being filled. That's the first step. Repent. Right now, have a good, long, hard talk with the Lord, and God's going to do something for you tonight. I want to ask now, how many can say, preacher, I have been baptized in the Holy Ghost days, months, maybe years past, but tonight, as the Word of God has gone forth, God has spoken to my heart. And tonight I want to say, as David, I'll be anointed with fresh oil. Preacher, as far as I know, Jesus could come back before the year's over. But this next year could be my last year. And preacher, I don't want to be just an ordinary Christian. I want to be anointed with fresh oil. Preacher, tonight, how many can say, I want the breath of God to breathe on me again in such a way that everybody I come in contact with is going to say, I need what you got. How many of us preachers in this room preach this gospel maybe for years, but we want to go out of this world in a greater blaze of glory than we've ever been? We need to be anointed with fresh oil. How many church members in this room can say, preacher, I've sat here and I've listened to people preach, and preacher, I'm tired of just sitting by watching other people do it.
Is there one in this room that will say, "Preacher, no matter what anybody else does or says, I will be anointed with fresh oil tonight"? How many in this room will say, "I'll leave this room, I'll leave this church tonight a changed person, anointed afresh with the power of my Lord and God"? If that's your heart's desire, would you raise your hand right now? All over this house, every saint of God that hungers and thirsts for a fresh anointing of God's Spirit, I want it to be real tonight. I want God to do what we cannot do. I want God to give what we cannot give. I want every one of you that have raised your hands to stand to your feet right now all over the house and raise your hands toward Jesus right now. And I want us to begin to pray right now for His Holy Spirit to begin to fall.